Rishus Marino Rav Shlita. Yes, I'm sorry for my absence last month owing to the patira of my father-in-law Rabbi Alexander ben Reb Shlomo Vomza, so I say this shir le'iloi nishmoso. Tonight we're going to say Kol Nidre, perhaps the most awesome kind of synagogue service through the whole year, the time of the year when everybody attends shul, no matter how much their degree of commitment. And the question, the simple question is, why is it that as Yom Kippur is coming in, we are saying something which is not really a prayer, it's some sort of declaration, Kol Nidre, to say that all the vows I make in the future year are null and void? Is this maybe some sort of cop-out? Is it some sort of legal dodge to try and absolve oneself from one's obligations? And is this the way one starts off Yom Hadin of Yom Kippur? The lead up from Rosh Hashanah has been with Slichas, with Vidui, and now, just as Yom Kippur is coming in, surely we should perhaps be saying more Slichas or more Vidui. Why are we then doing something completely different, which is very unusual? We don't do such a declaration the whole year round, but comes Yom Kippur we say this. And then there are other questions. We've been saying Hataras Nadorim, some at least have remembered too, since Erev Rosh Hashanah. Well, isn't Hataras Nadorim good enough? Hataras Nadorim is for the vows I made in the past year. So why do I therefore have to make Kol Nidre on vows which I'm making in the future year? And even if I haven't done Hataras Nadorim, why do I dafka have to say Kol Nidre now? Interestingly, if you look in the art scroll, there is a clause in brackets which seems to indicate that Kol Nidre isn't merely for the vows of the future year, but also the vows of the past year. So, Miyom Kippurim's there, we say, Ad Yom HaKippurim Abo Aleinu L'Tova, from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur. But in a small area in brackets in the art scroll, it says, She'ovar Ad Yom HaKippurim's there, from last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur, and the Yom Kippurim is Ad Yom HaKippurim V'Aleinu L'Tova. So what is Kol Nidre? What are we supposed to say? Is it for the vows of the last year, or is it for the vows of the next year? I remember my father told me, my father Zichron Levracha told me two or three things about Kol Nidre and about vows in general. And he told me, he said, Yom Kippur is a time when we are feeling very conscientious, we are regretting our misdeeds of the past, and we start making lots of New Year resolutions. I'm going to start going to Daf Yomi every day, I'm going to go on a diet, and I'm going to lose so and so many pounds, or I'm going to go on the treadmill every day. And we make all kinds of New Year resolutions, I'm going to do a Mishnah, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and somehow, unfortunately, these don't materialize. So however conscientious and holy we are, because we're keeping all the mitzvahs properly of Shabbos, Kashrus and Tefillah, and you name it, every single mitzvah, but even the most conscientious can easily fall when it comes to a neder. And the Dorim are something which are very serious indeed. Because when Yom Kippur comes, you can say, I'm sorry for all my sins. You can ask your friends and your enemies for mechila, bein adam lachaveru, on anything you did wrong to them, which is written in the halachos of Erev Yom HaKippurim. But there's one thing which remains outstanding, and that is your vows. Because if you promised something, if you said, I'm dedicating so and so much money to the shul, then you have to do that before Yom Kippur starts. Henry will be available after the shiur to collect any outstanding monies. So what are you doing with Kol Nidre? Okay, there may be vows which you didn't remember, which you've forgotten about, or which you're subconscious about. Well, that would be then the vows of the past. But also the vows of the future, you are making a stipulation. How valid is this stipulation halachically, legally? Now there is a Mishnah, though, which says in the Dorim Kaf Gimel, talks to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that it's possible that all the vows that I make in the future are null and void. Providing, however, that one remembers this at the time of the vow. So he says that when you're making the vow, you have to remember the stipulation that you made in advance, that the vows that you make are null and void. So the Gemara asks on this. The Gemara then, the Dorin Kaf Gimel, says, hold on a minute, if a person remembers at the time of the vow that he made such a stipulation, surely he has thereby cancelled his earlier declaration that maybe his vow is a valid vow, because he's confirming that he's making a vow. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made the vow because he's remembering the stipulation he made in the first place. So there's an argument in the Gemara between Abaye and Rava. I didn't bother bringing handouts, but Abaye holds when you make the vow, it's provided that you do not remember your stipulation at the time of the vow. If you don't remember your stipulation at the time of the vow that you said all vows are null and void, then it's null and void. And Rava says, no, it's the other way around. It's the way as Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that at the time of you are making the vow, you remember that you made a stipulation. So the view is, the halacha is really according to Abaye. Abaye is saying, I forget. I'm human and I do make mistakes, so I'm forgetful of the fact that I was in anger at the time when I made some promise and I made some vow, and I've forgotten that I had made a stipulation at the beginning of the year. Therefore, I am allowed to rely on that halakhically, that it is not really a vow. And the Lashon used there in the Gemara is Mirosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah is a loose term because it means at the beginning of the year, and in fact, in Yechezkel, there is a reference to Yom Kippur being called Rosh Hashanah in chapter 40. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Kol Nidre is a stipulation for the future. Rabbeinu Tam holds a basis of this Gemara that Horotza Shalo Yiskaimen Udorav Kol Hashanah, a person who wants to make sure that his future vows in the coming year are not valid, Yamud Rosh Hashanah, he should stand up at the beginning of the year, V'yomar Kol Nidre Shani Osid Lido, any vow which I will make, Yehi Botel, is nullified. V'lvad Shei Zocha B'Shas HaMeida, and then there's the phrase of, does it rely on this machlokus between Abaye and Rava? But the Rosh disagrees. According to the Rosh, Kol Nidre is for my past vows. In case you did not do Hatoras Nadorim, this is it. This is Hatoras Nadorim. All the vows which I made in the last year are null and void, and not the future. But there are a number of difficult questions about the Rosh. And in fact, there's a whole argument between the Rishonim about whether you can say Kol Nidre at all, whether it has any legal validity for the past or for the future. The Sefer Manig and Os Mem Hei says that Kol Nidre is a minak shtus. It's a fallacy. It's a haromo. It's a legal device which has dubious connotations. So why shouldn't we say it? Well, I like it, and others ask, if we're going according to the Rosh, that the vows go according to the last year, then Hatoras Nadorim needs a charotah. It needs a regret. When you do the traditional Hatoras Nadorim, you're standing in front of three people, and you're saying, I'm very sorry, I regret all the vows that I've been made, consciously, subconsciously, or that there's so many of them. So it's true, though, that there is a phrase in the Kol Nidre, B'chulon, I regret them, which you're saying in the middle, but charata should be at the outset. Charata should be the starting point when you're trying to annul vows. So despite that phrase, there is the question as to whether it's good enough. But according to the Rosh, because you've made this phrase, I regret in the past those vows which I had made. The question is, if you're talking about vows of the future, can you regret now the vows that you're going to make in the future when you haven't yet made those vows? Hatoras Nadorim needs three people. Three people, any three balabasim you do, you line them up in front of you and you say, or you can have a yochid mumcha. You can have some rabbi whom you come to and you specify the vow that you made and you express your regret, and he will ask you one or two questions about it, and he can be matir. So according to the Rosh is saying, well, yes, there is a kind of Hatoras Nadorim here, because you're saying this together with the whole community. And so you have at least three others there, and some say the Chazan is the Yochid Mumcha. The Chazan is the one who's saying it aloud, and he is the one who is annulling your vows for you. Oh, so who does it for the Chazan? Well, then the answer is, well, the other people in the Kila, they're also saying it quietly, and they can be Matir the Chazan. But it sounds a bit stretched, then, according to the Rosh, as to how the procedure of Hatoras Nadorim is being embodied within the paragraph of Kol Nidre. Because really, one can't be Matir one's own Neder. If the Chazan is the one who's really saying it aloud, you know, you can get three people to be Matir your Neder. You can get a Yochid Mumcha to be Matir your Neder, but you can't Matir your own Neder. You can't absolve it yourself. So even if the Chazan is acting for us, who is matter for the Chazan? So the Rosh is saying, everybody else in the shul. So much so that there are tshuvas which say that if you are davening on your own for any reason on Yom Kippur, the Sefer Shabbos Shabbosim says a person who davens alone on the eve of Yom Kippur cannot do this idea of Hatoras Nedarim for the past at all, because our three people are not present. According to Rav Popo in Gittin Lamed Hay, one must specify the actual vow to be annulled. Otherwise, it's not really good enough. We do have a rather cop-out clause in Hatoras Nedarim. Well, there's so many of them and I can't recall all of them. But Kol Nidre certainly does not suggest any kinds of vows at all. And so the Rosh is saying on that, well, you don't know what they were, so you can't specify them. Once a lady came to our house at a time when she knew there were three males present. She wanted to make Hatoras Nedarim, but she wasn't very keen to specify what the neighbour was. Apparently she had once made a vow that she would never marry a person from a certain country, any person from a certain country. So she did Hatoras Nedarim, and 2 days later she became engaged to somebody who is a citizen of that country. Anyway. So Rabbeinu Tam holds it's for the future, and the Minhag HaOlam is to follow Rabbeinu Tam, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, that we're really following Rabbeinu Tam, that just like Hatoras Nedarim is for the past vows, Kol Nidre are really for the future vows. Mikan Ulhabo. The Mishnah Berurah quotes both the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam, and he says this stipulation helps im eino zocheh hatanoi b'shosh shenoda. If you do not remember the stipulation of Kol Nidre when you make a future vow, but if you do remember the stipulation, then the stipulation might be abrogated. So he's paskening according to Abaya. The Ridbaz holds that there's no harm in saying both Moschos, and that's why you've got the bit in brackets in the art scroll. He says, I think it's good to say Kol Nidre for the past and for the future, although the Minhag HaOlam is not to do so. But he's worried that people might treat Nedarim lightly as a result. Oh, well, I said Kol Nidre, therefore I can make promises. I can promise a shul of £1,000, it doesn't matter because I said Kol Nidre. It doesn't work that way. It's the Seder Tefillah, it's part of the Nusach of the Davening, so it's not regarded, he says, as an insult to the concept of Nedarim. But there are those, even the Rambam, who did not do it. So that, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, a number of problems. Namely, if it's done for the future. All vows which I'll make in the future. The actual word dindarno, deindarno, seems to be the past tense for the grammarians of Aramaic. He asks a number of questions. If for the future, then why do you have the phrase ischaratno or deischaratno? That one will regret what one will do in the future, because how valid can that be? The regret can only come after you've made the vow. And then, if it's for the future, then why do we say after Kol Nidre, V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, which is an expression you would use of slicha, of forgiveness, because something has been transgressed, but nothing yet has been transgressed, then why say V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael? He also asks, why is it that you are assembling the whole congregation, dafka then, to annul vows? It cheapens their importance, which is what we were saying earlier with the Ridvas. And he asks, why do you have to say it three times? We say Kol Nidre three times over, but Minhag is to start quietly and then get louder and louder. Alright, if it's to do with the past, Hatoras Nedarim, we got this concept of three times, which the Beis Din say three times. But if the future, surely once is enough. Then he asks, why is it just before Yom Kippur? Why dafka at the time when it's about to get dark? And it's not Yom Kippur proper, but it's no other time of the year. And Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, and there's a question about Shabbos, when you can you do Haforos Nedarim? We do say in Masechta Shabbos that you can do Haforos Nedarim on Shabbos, but not Hatoras Nedarim, or what's been in the past. And why is it the Minhag that there are three people standing at the Bima? There's a Chazan, and he's flanked on two sides by men holding a Sefer Torah. If it's not Hatoras Nedarim, then three are not needed, but there seems to be a concept of three there. So Rabbeinu Tam himself answers some of these questions, brought in Tosus in Gemara Nedarim Kaf Gimel Amud Beis. He says the word Deindarno, it could refer to the future as well as the past. There are questions about if it's got a comma or different pointing, and we won't go now into the intricate grammar of it, But the Torah in Tov Reisha Tes says it's better to say di nodir no, which is the future tense. And there is a footnote in the art scroll saying, well, literally it seems to be the past, but that's tradition. What about this question about regret? Di ischaratno. If you regret that you made a vow, fine. So he says, we're assuming that after you've made the vow, you will regret it in the future. So there is now already, within the stipulation of Kol Nidre, an inbuilt regret that I will be regretting any vows I make, inadvertently and unintentionally, in the future. And there are some achzorim which have a dalad at the beginning of the word, of ischaratno, or icharatno, where it's de ischaratno. De, he says, means when in the future, when I will regret in the future. So the de is like conditional. But the nusach in the art school doesn't have the de in front of it. But this is written and endorsed by a number of achronim, the Bach, the Maharam Rottenberg, the Tashbats. They're saying that the regret comes after the neder. So what about this question of the nislach? The Ritva addresses this. If you make a vow without recalling your kol nidre, it will require a slicho. It will require forgiveness, which fits the Gemara we were talking about. So you have to say the nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael, even though the vows are relating to the future. He says that if the community altogether are making a stipulation, it's not a zilzal on the neder, it's not something which people will then treat Madorim lightly with. He does question whether everybody understands the Aramaic. Well, it was made in Bavel. Some say it was already the Anshei Knesset HaGdolot, some say it was the Gaonim, but the Nusach was made in Bavel, and not everybody understands Aramaic. The thing is, if you're making a stipulation for the future, you have to understand what you're saying, and therefore you should perhaps even say it in English, because otherwise it can't be valid if you don't understand what it's saying. And the Sefer Yosha says that it's the ignorant people who are treating vows lightly and don't realize their significance, and it's very good that they say it. And it's interesting that because Kol Nidre is the one evening of the year when everybody, or almost everybody, comes to shul, if we're going to try and encapsulate the whole Jewish population and say Kol Nidre, the best time is on the evening of Yom Kippur, because that is when everybody comes to the synagogue. We asked why is it said three times. He says that there are a number of times in tradition when we say things three times, and he quotes other halachas like chalitza, chalutz hanoal is a phrase which is said three times, or the omer magal zu in Gemara Menachos Samaches is said three times. Somebody remarked when I told them about magal zu, they said, is that Harry Potter? I didn't know what he meant, but maybe you do. So we're saying it before Yom Kippur starts, that when Yom Kippur started, you're clean and fresh and ready to start the year, and you don't really want to be Matin Nadorim or Haforos Nadorim on Shabbos. However, you can do Haforos Nadorim on Shabbos. The last perek in Gemara Shabbos says this, if it's the Tzurach Shabbos, and it's the Tzurach Yom Kippur, because you don't want to enter Yom Kippur with any blemishes. So the Bach says you can even make Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur itself. There are some communities which start a bit late. But since it's similar to Atoros Nadorim, since it rings certain bells of Atoros Nadorim, we start it before Yom Kippur proper. And the Levush writes in Tov Reishut Tes that we start it in the daytime in order to finish by night, to become effective at the start of Yom Kippur. And the Rokeach says this, quoting the Gemara of Shabbos, Mafir in Nadorim, the Shabbos. So there's a siddur of the B'nai Teman Eitz Chaim who says, I did try and get the community earlier in the day to come to shul, but I couldn't get them. They only came in the evening when it was rather late. So I rely on the Rokeach, who says you can actually make it in the evening. And then we asked about the three people, in case people regard it like Hatoros Nadorim, and it's got indications of Hatoros Nadorim for the past, then we have the three people standing at the Bima holding the Sifrei Torah. So the Ramah brings down in Siman Reishit Aleph, he says, how valid then is Kol Nidre for your future vows? He says, V'hod domin on Kol Nidre below Yom Kippur, regarding the fact that you say it on Yom Kippur, have a ki'ilu hisnu behedya, it is in itself legally a valid stipulation, but, u'mikol makom, lo somchin on alzeh, you should never rely on it. Lahatir below Shayla Chochom ki in the Turach Gadol. You should still nevertheless do Ataras Nadorim, go to three people or go to a rabbi, because it's a bit dubious. Don't regard it as a cop-out. Which does beg the question as to why are we really doing Kol Nidre? Is it really worth so much? If the Paschim are saying, well, it's got limited validity on your vows. And the importance of vows can't be stressed. We're very strict about Nadorim. In fact, on Yom Kippur itself and on other Yom Tovim during the year, a number of us are unfortunate where we say Yizkor, where we are recalling the departure of a lost relation. And in the Yizkor prayer, we make a neder to give tzedakah. In fact, when you're called up to the Sefer Torah, you're giving a neder to give tzedakah. And there are some Siddurim which have the phrase blue neder inserted, which doesn't tie you down to the vow. But my father, Zichrono Livracha, had a very interesting practice. He said, why do you have to wait till after Yom Kippur to give the Yizkor money? You can give it before Yom Kippur. And then you've got no neder shiloh whatsoever. He would give his tzedakah money for Yizkor before Yom Kippur, so that when he said Yizkor, he didn't say, ba'avor she'ani etheim, in order that I will give. He would simply say, ba'avor she'nosati, because I already gave. That the money I gave yesterday for tzedakah, for Yizkor, that is the money I'm referring to now, and then there's no neder whatsoever. Why put oneself in that situation? Yom Kippur is over, and you're busy with a sukkah, and you're busy with Abba Minim, and you can easily forget. And by the time sukkah is over, it might be out of your mind. So he said it's a good idea to give that money beforehand. Maybe that's what people can do with their aliyahs as well. They can give you money on deposit.
As long as you're not cutting the shul short.
As long as you're not cutting the shul short.
People haven't sponsored something for Yorkside or something and given them an aliyah.
Definitely. But Kol Nidre is a valid stipulation, and Minchas Shlomo, is Rav Shlomo Zalman, does bring down that it's a valid stipulation. He says the reason why we're really saying Kol Nidre is because often you'll say something where you don't intend a vow, but you express something or an intention. According to the Torah, it is a vow, but you don't quite think of it as a vow. So when you say, I'm going to start going on the treadmill every day, you might not intend it to be a vow, but according to the Torah, it is a vow. So he says that is why you're saying Kol Nidre. So when you're saying Kol Nidre, it's like saying Bili Neder. So that's why the custom is before Baruch Hu we say this, that we are worried about something which might not be so Shabbastic, so you're going to do it just before. But if Kol Nidre is so dubious as to its connotations, as to its validity, why are we really saying it at such an auspicious time of the year? The Shabbat Aleket says, the beauty of Kol Nidre is that it creates an awareness. That people don't realize how important vows are, and one should keep to them so specifically, and therefore one can create an eagerness to be sure that one isn't abusing the system. That when one makes vows, it's done very, very carefully, if at all. One should always avoid making vows. And you're perfectly legitimate if you're standing in an English court of law where you obviously are going to tell the truth, but you avoid making vows just as a matter of principle, and you say, I hereby affirm, and of course the Bible they produce is not a proper Bible because it's the Christian translation, so you make the affirmation and you're going to tell the truth, and just because you're absolved from vows it doesn't mean you don't have to tell the truth. Of course you have to tell the truth. Mitzvah sheker tzirchak. And this in fact is a major argument against the anti-Semites. Because if you Google Kol Nidre, you will come up on the web with some anti-Semitic websites which speak very critically against the Jews. Why? They don't keep to their promises. You can't trust a Jew. Why? Because they say Kol Nidre. And it's very nasty how they write. They say, the Jews say Kol Nidre, you can't trust the Jew, you can't have Jewish judges, you can't trust the Jew in court. Well, that's not what Kol Nidre does. It doesn't absolve you for all these things. It's very clear that our whole fundamental existence is based on MS, that we have to tell the truth. Not only do we have to tell the truth, but it says, Mitzvah Sheker Tzirchak, that you have to distance yourself from anything which looks like falsehood. So, they've got it all wrong, the anti-Semites. It seems that Kol Nidre may have come about a lot as a result of forced conversions, where maybe Jews were making promises which they were not wishing to keep sealed. I don't know. But what they don't understand, these anti-Semites, is the severity of the neder, that how important it is to keep to one's neder. One still has to be honest and truthful. And apart from the halachas of mitzvah sheker tirchak, lo samer lo dam reecho, can also apply in court. Sometimes we're saying things which are not intended to be said. We're saying things subconsciously, and therefore, you know, I'll give so-and-so much to charity, or I make this New Year resolution, and that is where Kol Nidre can come into being. Underlying all this with Kol Nidre, and the question as to why do we bother saying it on Yom Kippur, there is an interesting prayer in many machzerim just before it, starting with Kom Rabbi Shimon, and it's from the Tikkunei HaZohar on the mystics. And it talks about Tiferes, Gevurah, and all these other things to do with the Zohar. And there's something very interesting underlying Kol Nidre, as far as the Zohar is concerned. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Ayin Dalet, talks about Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who says, Oli Shenishbati, Nebuch to me that I made a Shavua, Vachshov, Shenishbati, Mi Meifali, who is going to forgive me, who's going to let me off? And the Zohar there says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Toron HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai made a taina against Hashem, Sheyati Gam Kein Esruah So Shel Golos, that Hashem should absolve any vow he made about putting us into exile. Because Nebuch, sometimes the Jewish people have sinned, and Hashem, having to be a fair judge, might make some nasty decrees against us. And what are we doing when we're saying Kol Nidre? We're doing a very direct hint to Ribbono Shel Olam. We're saying to Hashem, look, we are now absolving ourselves of all now the Dorim. Could you please do the same thing of cancelling out any promise you made which might be harsh upon us? Just like in the Maisa Egel, where Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will do away with the Jewish people. I will do away with them, and you I will build a new people from. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and we get these phrases which we say in the Yom Kippur davening, Salachati Kedvarecha, and so on. Hashem has then undone his decree. Says the Kabbalists, what is the underlying message of Kol Nidre? We are really making a supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this critical time of our lives. This is Pikuach Nefesh. Our lives are in danger when we're asking Hashem to leave the Kisei of Midas Adin and to go over to the Kisei of Midas HaRachamim. So we're saying to Hashem Yisbarach, please, just like we're cancelling out our vows, could you please join us in saying Kol Nidre, that you will be cancelling out any promises that you made which might be to the detriment of the Jewish people. And that, therefore, turns Kol Nidre from a declaration into a prayer. And anybody who thinks that Kol Nidre is a cop-out, it's a device in order to get ourselves out of our vows, maybe we should recall something which we spoke about at the end of our shiur about Prusbul a year or so ago, because there we asked about legal devices. When people think that we have get-out clauses in Jewish practice, and we spoke about Prusbul, we spoke about Heteriska, and we spoke about Mechiras Chometz. People think, oh, it's a device, I can sell my Chometz, I'm getting out of it the easy way. That's not the truth. The truth is that you're saying Kol Chamira, and you are Mevatel your Chometz, and what you're doing is just a safeguard. You're doing a Chumrah. By selling your Chometz, you are doing a stringency just to make sure that you're not over by your own by your Motzei. When one makes a Heteriska, the concept of a partnership is allowed in Halacha. But when you're making a heteriska just to make sure it doesn't look like ribbis, you are making a heteriska, l'chumra. And with Prusbul as well, just to make sure, to show that you are not over on the isur of money after Shavuos being owed, well, halacha, you're allowed to put the debts into the hands of the Beis Din in any case, without Hillel's tikkun about Prusbul. But Prusbul enables you to do that chumrah just to make sure, to show that you are not over daraisa. And the same goes with Kol Nidre. We're just making a chumrah here. A chumrah just to make sure, because we're not going to make vows uselessly. We're not going to say just any promises wildly. But just in case, in our subconscious, in our anger, we say it intentionally, we don't intend it to be a vow, but the Torah regards it as a vow. So we say Kol Nidre, we're therefore going the Chumrah to make sure that we are not going to transgress. And with that conscientiousness of wanting to go the Chumrah to show that we are not going to be over anything, with that we enter Yom Kippur with the prayer to Hashem that He should absolve any promises He made to our detriment. We are absolving any vows to our detriment, and that leads us with a clean slate, that we should have a Yom Selicha V'Chapara, a day full of atonement, that we can start afresh a new life. And that's why Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. We say good Yom Tov, and we're dressing in our finest clothes, and after Yom Kippur is over, there is a Yekish Minag to say good Yom Tov. We are celebrating, and there are those who dance at the end of Yom Kippur. And when the Kaddish is said at the end of the Nevilah, people are jumping and clapping. Why? Because we know in advance that if we are sincere in our Teshuvah, if we are honest with ourselves, just like we're honest with Kol Nidre, we're honest with Prusbul Et Iskim Echas Chometz, we are honest in our prayers, we know in advance that Hashem will forgive us for our sins and clean us for a new slate and a new life. May all go well for us, and we shall have a Shnas Geulah V'Shua. G'mach Simatova. Amen.